Tuesday was an election day. There were a couple closely watched primaries, especially in the Midwest. In Minnesota, it was the primary for the Senate race, for the Democratic nomination for the Senate in particular. Representative Angie Craig, a moderate, went up against Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, an outspoken progressive. Flanagan won that handily. Another victory for progressives within the Democratic Party. Over in Wisconsin, there was a closely watched gubernatorial primary. The Wisconsin gubernatorial field had been confused, to say the least. A lot of candidates, people dropping out, coming back in, all kinds of stuff. But for the past couple weeks, the leader in the polls had been Francesca Hong, a legislator out of Madison. The rest of the field did not seem to be able to consolidate around a challenger to Hong, and going into Tuesday, the assumption was that Hong was going to win. But as it turned out, that assumption was wrong. Because while Hong performed about as well as the poll suggested she would, almost 40% of the total vote, there was consolidation behind David Crowley, a former state legislator and currently serving executive of Milwaukee County. Crowley barely won, just 0.5%, and notched a victory for more traditional center-left candidates in the Democratic Party. So what do I think here? What should be the takeaways? There is a temptation, whenever you have clear narratives, to want to draw some big grand conclusion from the outcome of a race. Even when the outcome is exceptionally narrow, as it is in this instance. Some coverage has treated this as a major victory for moderates. Some coverage has treated this as a huge defeat for progressives. But I think both narratives are quite silly. Here's what I see between Flanagan's win in Minnesota and Crowley's win in Wisconsin. And I'll throw in El-Sayed's win in Michigan as well, another very close election. What I see is that the Democratic Party is almost evenly divided between a more traditional center-left and a rising progressive faction. Some of the growth of the progressive faction owes itself to disenchantment with moderate Democrats. Some of it owes itself to the fact that progressives tend to be a little younger than moderate Democrats. And some of it is a function of wanting to support big, ambitious policies. Opposition to aid to Israel has also been an important part of creating these distinctions and divides. But one interesting thing about both these races is that the coalitions behind each candidate is more varied than you would expect. Hong did exceptionally well in the rural areas of Wisconsin. And Crowley really did rely on the kind of highly educated urban whites that we associate with supporting progressive candidates. El-Sayed did much better with black voters than people anticipated. And Haley Stevens, his opponent, did, again, better in rural areas than people would have expected. We would need better surveys, more surveys, to get a good sense of what voters are actually thinking here. But it seems to me that there is a broad openness within Democratic electorates for more progressive candidates. This doesn't translate to a hostility necessarily for moderate and establishment candidates. There is still concern over electability. I think that explains Crowley's win. Hong's flat-footedness in the face of national media did not wear well on her campaign. And her inability to give a good answer about past positions, as inconsequential as they might have been, made, I think, a lot of Democrats on the ground quite nervous. In a previous video, I said that once primaries are over, we should kind of cool down on the factionalism. And here, I'm going to practice what I preach and try to cool down on factionalism. Because the other thing I see in this race, the Wisconsin race, what I see in the Michigan race, is a willingness on all sides to bury the hatchet and let bygones be bygones. After El-Sayed won, Haley Stevens immediately declared her intent to campaign hard for his campaign and has been rebuffing interviewers who clearly want her to say something to the effect of, "I have my reservations." After her loss, Francesca Hong immediately declared that she was looking forward to working with and fighting for Crowley in the general election. Everywhere you look, on the ground, what you see are moderate Democrats consolidating behind progressive challengers when those progressive challengers win, and progressive challengers consolidating behind moderates when the moderates win. There's a recognition that the stakes are too high for petty squabbles and the narcissism of small differences. A sense that it would be utterly decadent to get consumed over factionalism in the face of real challenges. As a political matter, this bodes quite well for Democrats in the fall. Unity is good. It also bodes well that in each of these primaries, there has been massive Democratic turnout, turnout that eclipses Republican primaries. Democratic voters are energized and ready to go and don't seem to have a big appetite for a ton of infighting. We all still have our differences and our disputes and our disagreements, but the stakes are quite high, and petty factionalism gets us nowhere. It's important to hold candidates' feet to the fire, to treat them as what they are, tools for advancing our interests, to avoid the kinds of parasocial attachments that are actually not conducive to getting things done in politics. The big political takeaway that I think you should have is that although there is a deep desire in press coverage for a Democrats are in disarray kind of message, what is apparent to me is that across the board, Democrats are very much in array. And while there are voices whose pettiness, sour grapes, and in some cases bigotry are quite divisive and harmful, they are a minority. They are by no means representative. Broadly speaking, Democrats are very much unified behind their various nominees and ready to fight it out in November.